Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, this is David Clark. The intro didn't want to play today. It was feeling cranky. But I am your host of Different Strokes for Different Folks. And this is a show where you will be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. Today I have as a return guest my dynamic lesbian New Thought minister, Abigail Scherer, who has been my second to top-rated or top-listened-to guest. So she generates a lot of interest. She's a marvelous free thinker. She has a totally open mind, and I resonate with everything that she says. Now, this show is going to encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. Despite all our seeming differences, you will discover we're all basically the same. You may or you may not agree with things that are said, and that's okay. But if you keep an open mind, you'll see where you can find common ground so that you can relate rather than compare yourself to others. And I'm going to, before I read her bio, I'm going to ask Abigail, first of all, and welcome you to the show. Abigail, how are you today?
I am doing extraordinary. Thank you, David. How are you?
I am doing the same. It is a great place to be, and we can talk about that in just a minute. But when I talked about relating to rather than comparing yourself to others, that's a trap that so many people fall into, the old ego trap. What would you like to say about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh. You know, I think that our brains are set up to put us, we like to categorize things as humans. And that's that is the ego. Now, I don't think that the ego is necessarily a bad thing. It's part of our common humanity, but I really understand that being in the place of loving ourselves exactly who we are, exactly how we are, and exactly where we are is really the path to freedom and the path to releasing any limited belief. So when you say, you know, comparing yourself to others, that's kind of a trap that everybody steps into, you know? But
well, it's
also
a form of,
it's
a form of judgment, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And if I don't want to be judged, then the best way for me...
No, and you can get into a place of arrogance, too, which simply underscores the fact that you have some insecurities about who you really are. And so that's not the best thing either.
Yeah, pretty much our judgments reflect more about ourselves than they do about the other person.
I used to think that there wasn't anything good about the ego, but I like what you said, because the ego can keep us safe under certain circumstances, and certainly going way back before we may have started to experience spirituality, we had to be safe around things like wild animals. And so the left brain came in very handy in terms of protecting ourselves. But it seems to me that it's less and less self-serving in a healthy way as we move along the path to spirituality. What would you say about that?
I agree. I think that having the balance of understanding where the ego is stepping in and acknowledging it for, you know, hey, that's part of my humanity. I acknowledge you. I accept you. I love you. And I'm choosing to react or act in a way that is for the betterment of everybody. And so that's where I just need to recognize, honor myself for what's going on, and yet not take action on the ego self and get more into, you know, like the transpersonal self or the self that is the part that understands that we're all connected to each other, and taking actions from that aspect instead of from the individual ego self.
I like the word act rather than react, because when I'm in a place of ego or going to a place of judgment or getting into feelings like anger, I'm reacting instead of detaching and observing the situation and taking some positive form of action where I can raise the level of vibration rather than take it in a negative direction.
Exactly. I think you hit on a key point of, you know, just being in that. I know for me, if I'm in the, you know, I notice, oh, wow, I'm flaring up with anger right now. Woo. And then the noticer, the observer, you know, like I can take a step back from myself and recognize, wow, I'm having a body reaction, which means I'm having an emotional reaction, which is something that was my thought that created this. And so as I step back and observe, I can make a different choice and choose to react in a way that is in love or in honor or sometimes just in respect of the other person that or, you know, situation that I might have an issue with. And take, I want to say, I like to say take the higher road, which doesn't always feel comfortable, but it's a road that is not in the reaction. It's a road that's in a new action of being.
Beautiful. Well, folks, first of all, I'm going to ask Abigail if she'd like to have a little fun, and I'm sure that she always wants to have fun, but I better do a reality check.
I think fun is my middle name.
Good. Fun has become my middle name. It used to be Serious, and so Sirius is connected to ego and those aspects of ego that are not self-serving. So I say throw it all away. And with that said, I'm going to play a beautiful song by New Thought singer Jennifer Farron. So just drink this in and consider the possibilities of what you can do when you throw your ego away and what benefits can happen. And while we're doing that, I'm going to get a cup of coffee. When we come back, I'm going to officially introduce Abigail Scherer. And so with that said, here's Jennifer Farron.
Trauma that can come from
Throw It All Away by Jennifer Farron, who is a New Thought artist, singer, composer. She comes from the Unity background, and she's gaining prominence as a musician and as a speaker. And if anybody is interested in her music, she has several CDs out. She's a regular guest on my show at least once a year. And her website is jenniferfarron.com. And I'm happy to promote her because all of her music has such a spiritual message. So did you like that?
Absolutely.
Great. Well, let me give you a formal introduction. Today's guest is Reverend Abigail Scherer, who is a dynamic speaker and talented teacher. She is known for her practical advice and her study of spiritual masters from all the great religions. She believes we are part of the human race, here to help create the life God intended us to have, one of absolute fun, complete abundance, and freedom. Her vision is to transform the planet by helping people awaken to their own magnificence and tap into their own connection with the divine. Reverend Abigail founded Center for Spiritual Living Peninsula, affiliated with Centers for Spiritual Living, in August 2012, a year after graduation from Holmes Institute of Consciousness Studies with her master's degree. Additionally, she successfully founded Sister Spirit Women's Retreat in 2008 and continues to be the facilitator of the annual Transformative Retreat. She recently left her career in development at Stanford University to pursue ministry full-time and to live as the example for people to follow their dreams. What could be a better thing to do than that? And let me ask you on that note, do you believe that dreams can come true if people believe in them?
Absolutely. I think that we can really live the life of our dreams. I think it's possible for every single person. And it takes work. It takes spiritual work. It takes a willingness to let go of limiting beliefs. And it is the most exhilarating, joyful thing that could ever happen to anybody. And I encourage everybody to take that little nugget, that little kernel of belief, and keep holding on to it. Keep dreaming it. You know, it's so worth it. And I have to say, it keeps getting better. Like, once you achieve one dream, you can just go to your next dream and your next dream and your next dream. And there's no limit to how amazing your life can get.
That's a wonderful point. Now, I heard years ago in 12-step programs people asking if the glass was half full or half empty. And the so-called optimist would say half full. And I say, so-called optimist, you are engaging in limited thinking. The glass is overflowing. And even that is limited thinking because perhaps you need a larger vessel, like the universe or the universes. There's absolutely no limit. What are the ways that people can limit themselves from achieving their dreams, and what are the things they can do to realize them?
Well, first of all, I think you made a really great illustration. It's something that I've used as well. I would like to say that God is unlimited. The infinite, the creator, you don't have to call it God because a lot of people have issues. They think that's big man in the sky, but that's not what God is. God is the unlimited abundance, the creator of all, the thing that is everywhere present at all times, and it is causing everything to come into creation and to create of itself. And so I call it God. Some people call it spirit or the universe, and it is 100% abundant. It's not lacking anything because it is everything. And knowing that that is everywhere, each and every one of us are existing in the body of God. And just like you said, we have a belief system, and the belief system forms the vessel or the container. So it's like God is the unlimited source of water, and if you have a belief system that says, oh, I'm a glass of water, then what you experience is being a glass of water. Well, somebody else might think, oh, I'm a bucket of water, and so they experience being the bucket of water. And another person might have a pool, and they think, oh, I'm a pool, and so they experience the pool of God. And another might think, I'm the ocean. And so it's really our limited beliefs that cause us to experience the abundance in accordance to what we believe. So the first part is looking at our belief system and where we might be thinking that we're not enough, or we can't do it, or we don't have the skills for something. Those kinds of things, just those, that thought is the very thing that's preventing you from being an ocean, for instance. So I think the first thing would be to look at what your beliefs are and your own language. Whenever somebody says, oh, why don't you try this, and you say, but, or I can't because, that would be an indicator. It's like a little guidepost to the but, and then whatever you say after that is the guidepost to this is my limiting belief, and this is why I can't do what you're saying, or the because I can't, and whatever you think or say after that will illustrate to you what you are thinking is possible, when really the whole universe of possibility is open. I have an example of that. I was, when I first started working at Stanford, I did not have any degrees, and I wanted another job. I wanted to move up into another position, and the position required a bachelor's degree. And so many people had told me, well, you can't apply for that because you don't have a bachelor's degree. And I thought, well, Why should I limit myself in applying when I should wait till the employer limits me? You know, like, why should I not even send my resume out assuming that they're going to not choose me because I don't have a bachelor's degree? Why don't I let them make that decision? And so I did. I went ahead and applied for this job that I really wanted, and they interviewed me, and they hired me. And lo and behold, I didn't have the so-called required bachelor's degree that I needed. And I think a lot of people, especially in searching for jobs and careers, they say, oh, and they look at what this job is, and it excites them, and it gives them, you know, passion. And then they see like one or two elements in the job description, and they say, oh, I don't know how to do that. And then they choose not to even apply because they've self-limited the possibility that they could be chosen. And I know in hiring that really a lot of things and a lot of jobs can be taught, but the right fit with the right team and the right group of people is often more important than the technical skills that you may have. I mean, they're necessary. Their technical skills are necessary, but often it's if you are a good fit with a team, a lot of things you can learn, you know? So
I like that.
That's just one way, I would say, is questioning your limited beliefs. How are you self-limiting before you even go do something?
Well, let's move on to expanding beliefs. And the flip side of the coin, which is the solution, we do not need to focus on the problem because that tends to keep perpetuating the problem. I prefer to call it a challenge or a possible solution. What are some of the tools that we can use to achieve our dreams?
I would say that visioning, which is separate from visualization, and affirmations are three really good tools people can use. The first one I'll go with the easiest is affirmations. This is basically finding, creating what you want. Well, I think a lot of people, and I used to do this a lot, it's easier to focus on what we don't want instead of what we do want. And I'm going to say that a lot of people think that way. And it's actually more fun and more exciting and more fulfilling to start dreaming about what you do want. So I'd say first start dreaming about what you do want. Write some dreams down, describe them, feel them, be passionate about them, and then take those ideas and write them into an affirmation. And the affirmation can be like, for instance, I'm currently improving my body right now. And so what I would like on my body is, my dream is to be physically fit, toned, like super amazing muscle definition. This is my dream. And so what I do in my affirmation is I state it as if it's happened right now, as if I already have it. Mary Manning Morsey says to start off your affirmation saying, I'm so happy and grateful now that. And that kind of gives you an easy way. So I'm so happy and grateful now that I have a physically fit, vibrant, healthy body that I continue to put nutritious food in, and I attract situations that cause further health and wellness in my life. So that's an instance for an affirmation. And so you can just take those dreams, filter them down, and then create affirmations. And then the second thing is visualization. So let's say you make the affirmation, then you visualize. Take some time and just maybe 5 minutes a day, just sit there, read your affirmation, and then visualize it as if it's happened and how it feels when you have that experience. And the third thing I recommend is visioning, which is a process by Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith. And so you can look him up. He's got all kinds of books and everything on the visioning process. But basically, the visioning process is really easy, so I'm going to do it real quick. What you do is you meditate, you get yourself into a receptive state, and you ask God or the universe or spirit, what is the highest vision for my life? And then the second question is, what do I need to embrace or become in order for me to manifest this vision? And then you ask, what do I need to release or let go of in order for this vision to fully manifest itself? And then ask, what skills do I currently have that I can utilize for the fulfillment of this vision? And then the last question you ask is there anything else? And so you just take, it's another process you can take, you know, 20 minutes if you want to, 20 minutes once a week, and just ask the universe those questions and see what comes up and just witness what comes up. So that's three tangible steps that people can do.
Again, when you say witness, you're playing observer and letting go of whatever the desire is and offering it up to the universe, aren't you?
Yes, exactly, because the universe might have something even better planned than you could ever imagine.
And I say it's a great idea, and pardon me if you already said this, but when I'm putting forth an affirmation for myself or a prayer for myself, I always add, may it serve the highest good for all, and may it be this or something better, because God is limitless, and I don't want to limit myself either. Now, what do you think is more, or what do you believe is more powerful, thoughts, attitudes, or beliefs?
Well, I think that the beliefs are the most powerful. It's actually your thoughts create your attitudes. And if you think something long enough, if you think the same way, it's like you have a pattern of thinking, it becomes a belief system. So a thought is kind of a belief is just a thought that's been thought so many times that it's kind of ingrained in your body, mind, spirit. And
right.
It's how you navigate, and it becomes ingrained in your subconscious mind. So you even react or act in ways that are in accordance to your belief, sometimes not even knowing that you have a belief behind your thoughts and actions that have caused you to behave in a certain way.
Now, what do you think is more powerful, beliefs or knowledge?
I would say beliefs. I would say
how
beliefs
about,
for sure.
How about beliefs or truth?
Truth. I would say truth
absolutely.
In the capital.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's that old saying, you know, seek the truth and the truth shall set you free, or something to that effect. And where can we find that truth, Abigail?
The truth is what the nature of God is. So we have little truth, like I have a piece of paper in my hand, let's say. That's a little t truth. A truth that's a big T truth, which is the nature of the universe, is that the universe is abundant. And if the universe is abundant and I'm connected and a part of the universe, which I am, then I'm abundant. And that's the big T truth. So
go ahead. Excuse the interruption.
Well, that's okay. I was going to say sometimes there's a people think when you say the truth that you're talking about the little t truth. And when I'm speaking about the truth, I'm talking about the universal presence of the divine and how it exists in nature, in and through all things. And so that's how I express the truth, and I tap into the truth, and I speak from that truth instead of the little t truth. Because the little t truth, that's truth or facts, those can change. But the universal truths never change.
And the little t truth is all relative to perspective, and no two perspectives are going to be exactly the same. Now, what can we do so that we live in a place where we're more often than not connecting with the big T truth?
I would say that some great techniques to connect would be meditation and prayer. For me, that's
mm-hmm.
that's the way I connect to the big T truth, and I do it every day in order to come from that place in all of my actions and relations with people. And I end up having a much better day if I do that.
Well, one of the things I like about you that frees you, as I see it and as I believe it, from limited thinking, is that you embrace the truths, practical advice, study of all the spiritual masters from all great religions. Now, here's a sticky wicket for me. I have a problem with religion per se unless it serves the soul. And a lot of times religions even can be limited in their teachings and the manifestations that we get when we follow them and don't take everything with a few grains of salt. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that there are, unfortunately, several religious organizations on the planet that are stuck in a certain way of thinking and being, whereas there's so many other religious traditions nowadays that I think are opening up to the fact that everything evolves, including religion. And so if there's a religion or a teaching that is open to the evolution of the spirit and the soul, then that is a teaching that I want to be connected to, because I want to be a part of what Ernest Holmes said. He said, keep it open at the top. When he spoke, he said, I'm going to be teaching these things to you, and, you know, what I'm teaching now is going to be like kindergarten to, you know, people in 100 years, because the evolution of spirituality is going to open us up to a greater sense of connection, a deeper source of knowledge, and greater intelligence. And so we are always evolving. So we need to keep it open at the top to evolve to the next level. And I think that churches and organizations that don't, they, you know, what they do is they create limitation and hurtful experiences. And I'm not going to say all religions are like that, because they're not. There's several that are not like that. And so I'm attracted to the ones, that's why I like the New Thought teachings, because they're open at the top. All of the centers that are New Thought centers are connected to that evolution of looking at our own spirituality and seeing how it connects to us on a day-to-day basis.
I like to think that all the great religious texts like the Bible and the Quran and the Talmud are still being written today. And so many people will go to the original texts, such as they've been passed down or translated through the generations, and adhere to them and not be open to anything beyond that. And that's just something I'm putting forward, and I would like you to comment on that in a minute. But I also was interested in the fact that you used the word kindergarten, because I'm finding more and more that the church that has been such a source of inspiration to me and has helped free me to a place of opening my mind is also limiting me now, because it feels like kindergarten. And Jesus is my hero, and this church is primarily based upon the teachings of Jesus. But even that's limiting, because there's so many other traditions out there. So can you comment on those two things and what you think about them, or what you believe to be true?
Yes, I believe that God is still speaking, that God didn't only speak to Jesus and then stopped talking to people. I believe that God has been speaking to everybody and is continually speaking to everybody at all times. And so we have many people who listen and are paying attention. So there's great people on the planet right now that I mean, besides you and I mean, I think everybody can have a personal relationship with God, with the divine, and have a true experience of having revelation right here and now. And there's also many people who've been published, which any one of us can be. But I want to say Neil Donald Walsh is one of my favorites, Deepak Chopra, Oprah. You know, just there's a lot of people in a lot of different venues, Mary Manna Morrissey, who are creating the new sacred texts. You know, there's so many people out there that are creating the new way of being and the new way of reconnecting with the divine. But I also like what you said about even religious organizations that cause us to think new thoughts and be in new ways of thinking often get cluttered with politics, or can find that the humanity, you know, prevents the organization sometimes prevents that from going to the next level, you know, and it's often great. I also am a big fan of Jesus. He's my homeboy. and so Jesus, you know, like Jesus really was one of the greatest teachers of all time. I mean, like the things that he's said, many Christians, if they were really Christians, would be in alignment with what he said. And instead of persecuting people, right? So,
I don't think Jesus was here to found a religion. I think he was opening up people to their spiritual potential. And personally, I think he'd be rolling over in his grave if he found out that people were deifying him as the only Son of God, as some so-called Christians do. And that's okay. That's their journey. I'm not going to knock it. I just believe there's so much more. And I think that, I believe, because I also believe that beliefs are more powerful than thoughts, and that in the process of meditation and going within, I can find the truth revealed to me. And that's how I believe Jesus did it. I believe that's how all the spiritual masters did it, and how every single person can do it.
Yeah. I agree. I completely agree.
You know, we were talking about things like oceans and cups, and we've talked about religions. We could talk about the color of our skin, our sexuality. You and I both identify as being gay and lesbian. But all of these are labels. And aren't those other ways that we can restrict ourselves?
It is. I think that in ways it can be freeing, and in ways it can be restricting. So we do... Like I said earlier at the very beginning of the show, our brain is programmed to categorize and to put things together. And admittedly, I know that there's a way of connecting with people that are of like mind, and sometimes like color and like race and like gender, that frees people to be more open to who they are. I think that's wonderful, and I think that's good to recognize that connection is important, but not use that connection as a way to keep others out. So as a way of separating.
Go ahead. I think you're going to say just what I was going to say.
Yeah, I think that sometimes people use being in groups as a way of separating from the outside world instead of using that as a way to be recognizing the interconnectedness of all life and seeing how, hey, you know, people like me, we can connect, but how can we cross over through those boundaries that have been created into tearing those boundaries down and to reaching across to those who are different than me and finding out the beauty and the diversity that has been created in life. And I think that that's really where the richness of life is created, when we can have that sense of unity, but then also see what the diversity can bring forth in our life experience. So, hey, I'm a white girl, and if I connect with my wife is Mexican, and so she has a completely different heritage. And the more I learn about it, the more I learn about her, the more I'm able to enjoy the juice and the richness of life and acknowledge her for her beauty and her heritage, and not compare or contrast, but enjoy the fact that we are all different. And our similarities, you know, we love women. That brought us together, thank God. And that we are, you know, unified in recognizing that just because we're together, that doesn't mean that I get to limit other people from being together in their way. So I honor all types of relationships, and I honor the fact that I get to have my own relationship the way it is. So I think that's where, you know, we need to look at those types of things.
I hear truth, love, and honor, and I hear freedom from judgment in everything you've just said. And the one comment I wanted to make that I thought you were leading up to, guess I can't read your mind yet, although I'm praying for more intuition. I believe that all of those so-called labels that we can use in a way to free ourselves from perhaps previous judgments. For instance, I used to be very homophobic, and when I affirmed that being gay was good and surrounded myself with positive people, places, and things, then I moved to the next level, and I used that as a stepping stone. so that I'm not just stuck there, so that I am out in the world and not separating myself from others, as some people feel the need to do, and that's okay. That's their journey. But to me, it's all about people, places, and things, and keeping it positive. And that brings me to what we both said at the beginning of the show when I asked you how you were doing. You said extraordinary, and you asked me how I was doing, and I said the same. And I could add, perhaps even better. I don't know, because I'm not sharing your experience, but I'm coming to relate to you and resonate with you, and my level of vibration is going up. And because of that, it points out the fact that I can't do this alone. No man or woman is an island. And if we're going to get beyond ego and separation, we need each other to raise each other up. And those are the different parts of God that is boundless. What do you think about that?
Oh my God! I just want to say, speak it, brother.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I am just overflowing with the spirit, and especially when I talk to you, and my friend Patricia, who's listening in today. She's a highly evolved soul, and we both recognize that we're on our own journey and that everybody has their own journey to follow, that we can be angels walking on this planet if we stay in a place of spirit. However, it's important not to cast judgment against others who may not be as evolved at this point in time. And that can be a real trap, you know, when somebody seemingly does something to hurt us. That may not be their intention, but we might perceive it that way. And so that can become a trap. And what I'm trying to achieve with you today, and I believe we're being successful, is freeing oneself from traps, because there are a lot of them out there, but they are just learning experiences. They do not need to trap us. We do not need to be victims. We do not need to be survivors, even if we may have survived an experience, but we can thrive. And so how do you keep in a place where you are extraordinary?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to say that what you're talking about brings to mind the Four Agreements, the book, the Four Agreements. And I'm actually teaching a class right now. We're using that book. It's by Don Miguel Ruiz. And there's four things that he recommends in life. And it's like, it's so simple and so easy, and yet sometimes so challenging to do. But it's the thing that has really kept me in that higher vibration. And I'm going to tell you the four agreements. And the first one is be impeccable with your word, which means stay in integrity with what you say. The second one is don't take anything personally. And that's what you were talking about. If somebody else does something and you get hurt or offended, or, you know, what if you didn't take anything that they did personally and just love them for being where they are, exactly as they are? And the third agreement is don't make assumptions. And I think that that is really important, because in our lives, I have so often made assumptions on why somebody does something, or the reason behind this, where I read an email and I get upset because I've assumed so much into it. And so if I don't make assumptions about things, then it frees me from that trap you were talking about. And the fourth one is always do your best. And so in every moment, sometimes when I'm not feeling well, my best is different than when I am completely on a high vibration. I'm, you know, at the height of physical activity. I'm, you know, doing my spiritual practice, and I'm doing my best at that time. And I can still do my best at the times when I'm not feeling it as well, or I'm mourning or grieving. And so those have been really, this book has been such a great tool for me to utilize to maintain that higher vibration. And also, I have to agree with you. I like to surround myself with people who lift me up. You know, I like to look around and say, in my life, am I surrounded by people who are uplifting me, or am I surrounded by people who continue to be in a lower vibration? Where do I want to be? You know, if I want to be continually uplifted, then I want to make sure that I surround myself with the people that inspire me. And then I also use kind of as a, I would say an idea of my life is to be an uplifter as well. So
yeah.
if I can constantly uplift people, that I will be in my joy.
I've heard it said it's no good unless you pass it on. And from that standpoint, I would say there are people who may not have the same level of vibration as me, but as long as they are open and willing and honest, I can overlook anything. It's just that if somebody throws toxic behavior at me more than one time, then I must detach with love and bless them and send them on their way. I am here, as we all are, to serve my fellow human being, but nobody deserves abuse. Nobody. And, getting back to the four agreements, I'd like to ask you a question and play the devil's advocate. You used the word simple earlier. Can you keep it even more simple than that?
Can I keep it more simple than that? What do you mean?
Than the four agreements.
Okay. I would say be love.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going after the golden rule, and you summed it up with the word love. I believe that if we all followed the golden rule, we wouldn't need the Ten Commandments. We wouldn't need the Four Agreements. We wouldn't need gurus. And I love the authors that you mentioned and the people that you mentioned. But don't you think, and I use the word but, a pregnant but, that sometimes people make gurus or deities out of other human beings and then become trapped once again?
Yes, I think it's quite possible that when somebody sees somebody else being successful, when you make that person into a deity, you're creating a separation between that person and yourself. And really, I encourage anybody who has somebody who inspires them, instead of using them as a reason to, they're better or they're so good or, they can do this because they're so special and I'm not, to really understand that your success is absolutely just as possible. So instead of using it as an excuse for you not to be successful, using them as a reason to show that you are as good, as amazing, as dynamic, as powerful, as joy-filled as any of those people that I said, that you are just as special, just as amazing, just as profound. That is exactly what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, all these things you shall do as well and more. And so instead of using them as a way to, idolize, it's so much more powerful to use them as a pointer to yourself, as if this is possible for them, this and more is possible for me. That each and every person on this planet was gifted special gifts and can do anything that they put their mind to. It is absolutely possible, and they can be as wildly successful, whatever your region of success is, because it's different for every single person. You can be as wildly successful as you tune in and claim yourself to be, but you have to be willing to recognize that I am a son or daughter of the divine. I am made of divine creation. And if I am of divine creation, then I'm an artist, or I'm an author, or I have something special that the world needs. And I truly believe that each and every person was implanted with special and unique gifts that the world needs. And you're not going to do anything by holding them back. You know, nothing is going to happen if you keep your gifts inside. You need to share your gifts with the world, because the world needs you. And that would be my message to each and every person out there.
Well, we could go off on that in another whole show. But I wanted to make a comment and ask you a question about a couple of things that have been said. Now, going back in time, you talked about how our best at one time may not seem as good as our best at another time, but that we always do our best. And one of the most powerful affirmations I was ever given by a 12-step sponsor was, I'm doing the best I can with what I know about myself here and now. And I add to that, and I always have, because it's been part of my past judgment of self to reflect upon earlier times when I thought I was failing and simply learning lessons, to recognize that I was truly doing my best then. I was hurting. I was a broken vessel. And now I'm whole and complete, and I have all these beautiful scars because my vessel is put back together, but in an even more magnificent way. Because I believe that every dark cloud has a silver lining, and every perceived hurt that's ever come my way has served my greater good and the greater good for all. What do you think about that?
Oh, I absolutely agree. I think that each and every experience that comes forth in our life is an experience that has molded and created us into the amazing, wonderful people that we are now. And sometimes there's some work to get to the point of recognizing, wow, all of those challenging situations really made me, you know, more. For instance, my dad passed away 5 years ago, and that was probably one of the most difficult experiences I ever went through. And at the time, I was going through grief, and I was asking myself, you know, why me? Why now? I'm so young. Why did this happen? And what I realized is he was giving me a gift, one of understanding grief at a profound level, in a way, as a young minister, that I can reach out to people that I never would have been able to be as good or as compassionate as a minister if that experience hadn't happened to me right then. It was right in the middle of ministerial school, and I really recognize that it was a gift to me. I'm still grieving, but it was a gift to me, because now I am so much a more compassionate, more loving, more kind person because of that experience. And I've counseled people who've been rape victims or had very, you know, abusive growing up childhood years, and what I notice about those people is that there's so much compassion, and many people who have been working on not allowing that experience to overcome their life, and they want to grow and utilize this as a jumping off point. Those people are the most powerful, compassionate, open-minded, loving, committed people, you know, in my practice. I noticed that those clients are really, really powerful and extraordinary human beings. So if something like that has happened to anybody out there in your past, I encourage you to recognize that this could be something that could absolutely transform you into being and living the best dream that you can live. You know, a lot of people. I forgot the guy who, I forgot his name, but I saw him speak in person, and his son was murdered by another guy's son, and he ended up connecting with the father, and the guy who murdered his son was the other son was in a gang, and so he ended up connecting with the father, and they created this organization about helping kids in high school recognize how to not be in gangs, how to live a life that is constructive instead of destructive. And they've gone all over the country, and they're changing the lives of so many kids around the country. And it's all because this one man lost his son to a gang. And it's just, I mean, it's so if he can utilize that, you know, horrible experience and put it to good in the world, anybody can do that. And so I encourage each and every person to recognize you're not broken. There's a reason for each thing that happens, and there's a higher good that is expressing through it. And to find the people and the situations and the learning to help you get to the point of recognizing what that good is, because I guarantee you it's there. So,
amen to that. You know, we are running short of time. I'm wondering if you're free to go a few minutes past the hour.
Sure.
Okay. I don't want to try to wrap it up in 2 minutes. I'd like to get back to potential and to that verse from John that says, even greater things than these you shall do, which could also be interpreted that even greater things than this shall you be. Now, do you believe in the resurrection?
In what sense?
The resurrection of the body from physical death.
What I believe is that when we physically die, that we are still alive and we go on to a next plane of existence. So we don't really die forever because the truth of our being is immortal. So we are immortal beings kind of borrowing a physical body for a while, and then we leave our earth suit when we're done. Basically when we're done.
I believe that too. I also am one that believes that Jesus did resurrect, that he raised Lazarus, and I was wondering if that was part of your belief system, and it doesn't matter if it is or isn't. But the point is, let's just take this to the max. If you do believe in resurrection and that Jesus had that gift, and he says that even greater things than I have done, you shall do, my God, the sky is not just the limit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I definitely think that anything is possible. I do.
Yeah.
And I think that things that even that I think are not possible, I think that there's things that are possible that I even believe are not possible. You know, I know that there's so much more, and as we continue to evolve, then we continue to see that God is way bigger and way more extraordinary, and this life is way more profound and exciting than we could have ever imagined. And
it's amazing when you think or reflect upon the idea of what somebody from Jesus's time might have thought if they saw automobiles or computers or airplanes. My God, those would have been conceived of as miracles, and yet those are all, they are miracles. Miracles happen every day, but those come from the ingenuity of humans to work with the physical laws and overcome what were previously viewed as the impossible. And so there seemed to me to be so many ways at a spiritual level that we can overcome limited beliefs even, and realize even greater potentials than Jesus did. What do you think about that?
You bet. I absolutely think that this is exactly what is happening on our planet right now. I think that the consciousness of the entire planet is evolving. The fact that more and more people are being aware of the idea that even more is possible, and that we need to work together as a planet, as a global operation, to lift our vibration, that as we continue to do that, yeah, I think, like, you know, there's a cure for cancer out there. I think that all these things that are issues of today's time will be long gone. You know, it's long gone. It's like when they discovered penicillin, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, who knew that all these, you know, that it's so easy that we can overcome so much and we can live extraordinary, healthy, vibrant, alive lives in ways that are so good. And so I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited about our current life. I'm excited about our future. And I'm excited about what the potential is for each and every one of us. Because as we tap in and tune into that, then we open ourselves up to receive those gifts as well in ways that are better and more extraordinary than any one of us can imagine. So it just fills me with joy and eager anticipation about life every day. It's like a new joy opening up for me.
Well, there's so many more things that we could talk about along those lines, but I think that's a wonderful stopping point. I'd like to ask you to consider in another show exploring things like karma and the evolution of consciousness, and some of the things that people might not think to be possible, like achieving world peace, when you come back, again, if you're willing to do that.
I would absolutely be willing to do that. Sounds like fun.
Okay. Well, we all like fun. And I think one of the things about fun to keep in mind, folks, is that there are some things that don't seem like fun, that seem like drudgery. And the important thing is that if you can have an attitude of fun when you're going about your work or chores, that you can transform that experience into something that's fun too, just like Snow White did when she whistled while she worked. So I'd like to thank Reverend Abigail Scher for joining us today and for all of the callers who have been listening, even though there's nobody that actually called in to talk to you today. That will change over time, I'm sure. And there are so many more people that will listen to this as a podcast. And I trust that some of the ideas that have been shared will continue to open people's minds. And hopefully people will check out blogtalkradio.com/authordavidclark to see when Abigail Scher will be back, because I'd like to ask you to come back in 6 months' time, if that's okay, bringing us close to the Christmas holiday.
Sounds great. I love it.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Yes, thank you for having me. It is really an honor. I'm very grateful you invited me.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I'm grateful to have you. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing as separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who are having a spiritual experience. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize. And that's the end, folks. My outro's not playing either, and I think that we have said more than a mouthful for today. So thanks again, Abigail.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, Godspeed.